From the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show. Today, we've got a post-apocalyptic airship adventure by Mark Valesky called Air Supremacy. Peace between the United Airborne and the Rin Clan has unraveled as a surge of survivors exit the mysterious clouds of Kalem. Admiral Felicia Dawn struggles to provide supplies to the Southern Territories while she loses control of her vast forces. Lord Rin has vanished, while his faction of ninjas roam the land, dispensing justice as they see fit. Airships are being raided by harpies pouring out from the crowds below, led by their unstoppable queen, a creature capable of invoking two elements.
Mark Valesky is an award-winning world builder and storyteller. Inspired by graphic novels, movies, mixed martial arts, online games, tabletop, and the diverse planet we live on, Mark wants to create a world as incredible as our own. In his writing, he focuses on diverse locations, unique characters, fast-paced action, intense emotions, and tough decisions. Outside of writing, Mark works in marketing and videography in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, the birthplace of Dungeons & Dragons. There, he works with other professionals and fantasy enthusiasts to build a world-class fantasy experience. And now, a sample of Air Supremacy, Episode 1.
Lyric, how many personnel do we have available in Stratus? I asked, staring at the map of the Southern Territories. It was filled with notes, pins, strings with pins, numbers, and question marks. Questions about how this ridiculous puzzle could be solved without a miracle. It had me ready to pull my hair out. Lyric was my assistant, as well as being the closest thing I had to a friend. She scrolled up and down the screen of her tablet, reviewing the numbers. Her response carried a tinge of annoyance, likely a reflection of my own frustrations. That number is somewhere between 20 and 54, depending on how many actually show up, let alone work. Half of the units stationed there are from Black Powder, you know what that means. I groaned as I remembered how dire the circumstances were to get me to shake hands with Blell, to align myself with Black Powder, to put my trust in that lowlife and his mob of pirates. It was a stain I couldn't wash away. Since Blell's imprisonment, only half of his goons were useful while the other half were content to remain degenerates. Still, if they were partly capable of doing what was necessary, it was better than nothing. Unfortunately, their lack of work ethic bled into my more reliable soldiers. It was giving the United Airborne bad public relations. Lyric took a step next to me and compared the spreadsheet on her tablet with the map. If we give it another week, the engineers in Starkton Hills will have a transport ready. But that runs on NRG, right? They'll starve. We need something that runs on core energy to get there in a timely manner. My response grew more agitated. Lyric turned to me sharply and raised her voice. Well, what do you want from me, Felicia? At least when the transport gets there, they will be set for 2 or 3 weeks. Most of the people there are elderly and capable of providing for themselves. Out of any of the cities, they are in the 3rd percentile as far as needing supplies or anything else for that matter. They've been incredibly productive, making... Fine. I put up my hands. By the winds, tell me we are done for the day. With a sigh, Lyric glanced down at her tablet and then up at me. Yes, until the next batch of reports arrive in about an hour. Then we can do this all over again. I need some fresh air. Captain Drex, you are in charge. I gave my trusted captain a confirming nod. The man had a file as thick as a book with pages that said nothing but excellent things. I would know, since I wrote most of them. Leaving the bridge, I had absolute faith Drex would keep everything under control. Yes, ma'am. Captain Drex nodded sternly, staring through the windows of the command center to the open skies with clouds above and below. Get on the intercom. Breakfast ends in 5 minutes. I want them on the deck, lined up, and ready to go. Down the stairs and through the halls of Starfall, Lyric and I made our way to the deck while Captain Drex's orders blared loudly throughout the airship. The first breath of the open air was refreshing. It crept into my lungs and wiped away thoughts of the frigate's stuffy rooms. Though Starfall was the pinnacle of airship technology, it lacked comfort. I untied my hair and let it free. The feeling of the wind combing through my long locks had a way of cutting down my anxiety. Whenever I was cooped up for too long, a trip outside was necessary. A break from managing inventory, personnel, and logistics was only bearable because deep down, I loved the Southern Territories. Even after the breaking pulled the land into the sky and filled in the massive holes with clouds to create Kalem, its beauty remained. Those who survived the catastrophe relied on the United Airborne to provide basic necessities. Tens of thousands needed clean water and food. That number grew every day as people exited the clouds of Kalem. The deck was nearly empty except for a few crewmen on lookout. Most were below eating breakfast. Then they would be up here ready to receive their orders, which still had to be fleshed out. This is what I considered alone time, despite Lyric being glued to my side. Even though my assistant and I did not always see eye to eye, there was no one better. I'd rather have someone give it to me straight than give me a runaround. We walked along the rails of Starfall, basking in the morning sky, knowing each relaxing minute was dwindling away. Massive chunks of land floated in the air, caused by the breaking so many months ago. How they continued to defy gravity with such ease was mystifying. Below us was Kalem, an abyss of clouds. What existed within the layers of puffy clouds had yet to be verified. "Permission to speak freely, Admiral?" Lyric spoke in a relaxed tone. We both must have needed a break from the bridge. "Yeah, go ahead, Lyric." I sighed, trying to restart my brain and prepare it for another mental load. "Now that we are alone," Lyric glanced around to confirm the deck was clear, "what are we going to do about Black Powder and the Rin clan? Every time they interact, there are body bags. We have to cut ties with one of them. You can't keep holding out for Lord Rin's response."
"I know, I know."
I nodded, looking out at the crew filling the deck and lining up in formation. "We are in a tough spot. Black Powder makes up a significant portion of our forces, though they are as incompetent as ever. They are dragging our troops down, but also building ties. Some of them are good and trying to turn over a new leaf. The Rin clan, they've been doing our job for us, Felicia. In some ways, it's better than doing it ourselves. We don't have to process them. If we shifted our apex forces from policing Black Powder and onto legitimate field work, we wouldn't have to work on that map for hours on end." Lyric's stern look only reinforced the fact that she was right. The Rin clan had not only infiltrated Black Powder's underhanded dealings, but wiped out anyone involved. A flare in the sky and a bloody pile was their way of letting us know the job was done.
So, Christine.
Yeah.
We have a sponsor.
We do.
It's Pro Writing Aid, which is pretty awesome.
That is awesome. I'm so excited.
Fun fact.
Yeah, because we asked them to sponsor us because we love their product.
Yeah.
I use it all the time.
Same.
It is a fantastic tool for serial fiction, especially, you know, a lot of times it's not worth paying for an editor, so we have to do a lot of our own self-editing when we're writing serial fiction. And I have issues with passive voice, so mm-hmm. It catches all
Who
of
doesn't?
Those things for me. Yeah. And it's like, no, I'll make this more active. And you know what? Over time, now I don't even get as many of those notifications because Pro Writing Aid has made me a better writer. I don't have so much passive voice. And it shows me when I start, you know, four sentences in a row with the word she.
Yeah.
And gets that all out of there. So
oh
it
my
is
gosh.
The best tool.
It happens to me so much. And I'm just like, oh, what did I do? I made a mistake. And then it's like Pro Writing Aid's like, well, I'm here to make it better. And I'm like, oh, you did it for me. Thank you.
Yeah, so we're so excited that they are sponsoring us. And if you haven't used Pro Writing Aid before, I would highly recommend it. It will make you a better writer. And our sponsor has given us a discount code that you can use to get 20% off.
Woo!
So it's Serial20. S-E-R-I-A-L 20, cereal like the killer, not like the breakfast. Mm-hmm. Go give it a try. You won't be sad. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. Seriously, check out Pro Writing Aid or else. All right. So we have a captain of a ship reconciling with unreliable soldiers. Oh, and a spy on a flying pirate ship with floating islands. Oh, and also ninjas. What? I'm just curious, what inspired you to write this?
It's funny because the description of this story, I've changed a few times, and I've boiled it down to ninjas and pirates fighting in the sky. And a long time ago, when I did the book, which is the predecessor to this, Winds of Descent, I said I wanted to make something that just was, what did I really, really, really want to read? And I said to myself, I love ninjas. There's that internet meme or whatever, ninja versus pirates. I was like, I want to create this atmosphere where they're fighting. And I knew, because this is the second book in the series, I was like, I knew where it was going to be. I was like, how can I make this as interesting as I wanted it to be? So again, this is a story that I wanted to make. With those parameters, I said, how do I make it work? So, and it's actually been really, really enjoyable because it's really forced me to think about perspectives a lot. So with this specific story, I have my two main characters, which is Admiral Dawn and Lord Rin, and they are two completely different individuals. I love to think about it, the dynamic that people on opposing forces would have. I know you guys have brought it up multiple times that the best bad guy is a good guy to themselves, right? And when you see both perspectives, it becomes really difficult to say, like, which one is the good guy and which one is the bad guy.
Yeah, that's my favorite. I love that. And I love that you've combined so many different elements into this. So you said that this is a continuation of another book. Can you tell us a little bit more about Unlimited Story, the lore behind it, including its four cores and how Air Corps is used in this serial?
So the overarching story kind of comes from, there are these four cores on the planet: Earth, Fire, Wind, Water. And each one of them to me represents something. I haven't like really decided like, hey, this is definitely that. But I have this strong belief that the world that we live in, Earth, right? There are just these fundamental problems, and I wanted to really think about them and kind of bring them to light. For example, I think greed is a terribly awful thing. I address that in some of my stories. So the Air Corps is very unique to me. It's a place that it created divisiveness because of pollution. It caused a lot of waste, and some people were willing to address it and other people aren't. So one of my goals was to show what would happen with in this specific area, and really show the difference, how it was being addressed by different people. Because some people they may have the same end goals, right? They both may want to have a clean environment and happy people. But some people are far more aggressive about about how they want to do it, as opposed to some people are just, hey, we're going to do this very slow. So that was one of my big things. And I guess over all of Unlimited Story, my bigger goal was to show that we're all very alike. People in general we're all in this in a situation where we're hoping to do good things. No one is intentionally evil, even though they may be perceived that way. So one of my biggest goals is just show that people are different, and we, through understanding and flexibility, patience, a lot of good things can get done. So
I love that. That's such a cool idea to kind of push forward with this whole huge story world that you've created. Now, you've said online that you like to write fast-paced stories and you're inspired by mixed martial arts. Is this something you practice?
So I have done Taekwondo. That was pretty fun. I had quite a... So I'm the youngest of five, and my closest brother... in age, we are very close as well. He's 10 years older than me, so we would practice. We'd go to the park and practice mixed martial arts on each other. I have friends who do Taekwondo, we practice on that. But I have spent a considerable amount of time just researching how people move. You know, anatomy is a big thing. You know, how your joints work, how they lock up. In my stories, I put a large amount of effort into making sure that the techniques they use would actually work. To me, believability is very, very important. I don't want to be just pulling stuff out of the air. So anatomy is huge, and that goes for not only humans, but the animals I work with. So for example, in this book, there are harpies. I look at my birds a lot. I just look at them like, how are you doing this? The way those birds communicate is very important. The interactions. So I like it being fast paced, because when you're actually in an altercation, it moves very, very quickly. There's very little time to think. So I try not to break up any of the action with too much thought. Like the people in my stories, they survive an apocalypse. So the people who are survivors for a reason. So I already kind of have that in my mind. So a lot of people already know how to deal with combat. So a lot of it is like, hey, we're jumping right into it. This is what's happening. They're thinking quick, or they're thinking ahead of like the next step. So that was one of my big goals, is to make sure that was in there. And mixed martial arts is an amazing sport, because it's taken all these different types of combat and combined them. And I love Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee was an amazing martial artist. And even now I constantly ask the question, is like, how would Bruce Lee fare in combat today? You know, if they put him in MMA, how would he fare? Because he's, you know, the way those people fight nowadays is not at all what they're doing today. So
yeah, that's really interesting. And I love that you have tried to bring realism into that. I've watched military training videos on YouTube to try and get some of that realism, which is a great thing to do when you're trying to get action into your story and you've never been in that situation before. So do you have everything planned out for this serial, or are you hoping that reader feedback might help shape where the story goes?
So I've really been thinking about that long term, and I know where I'm going. I have a big plan. I know basically how it's going to end. I'm big on outlining. I don't outline to dialogue, but every episode has a goal. I say to myself, we're going here. You know, this is my beginning, this is my end. I have a saying that's, you don't get in the car and just drive randomly. You know where you are and where you're going. So that's very important to me. So I have the first season. It's basically set up and done. One of my biggest goals with Unlimited Story is to let other people get involved. So obviously Amazon/Vela hasn't set any of that functionality up, but I am working on that. So using Discord is my primary source of communication. I'm going to be reaching out to fans of mine and just let them throw some stuff in. Be like, hey, I really like this character. I want to focus more on them. And I'm going to be doing that. It's going to offer a lot of challenge too, because I've thrown in some characters in there that I wasn't expecting. You know, you have that, you get surprised by your own characters. But the biggest thing that I'm wondering is if they're going to say like, hey, I want this character and this other character to have like a romance twist, which I am not a romance author. I never claim to be. I have not practiced any of that. But if my fan base says that that's the direction they want to go, yeah, I want to try to appease them. So I am willing to go the extra mile and give it a go. So yes, I am. So the first season is basically set in stone. And then the next one, I'm going to give myself about a month or two break where I'm going to work on some other projects. I'm not exactly sure. And then see what everyone wants and then start planning out from there.
Awesome. Not that you've already hooked me with pirates, ninjas, and flying ships, but if it wasn't me, what's one thing about this story that you want listeners to know or to be excited about?
I brought it up a little bit before, but my biggest thing is being able to see multiple perspectives, like two enemies, and seeing why they are enemies, but they're not really enemies at the same time. When I was working on Winds of Descent, my mom read it, which I was super happy about. because she does not read this type of stuff at all. And at the end, I said to her, I said, "Mom, who was the bad guy?" And immediately she's like, "Oh, the ninjas." And I was like, okay. And then she stopped and she said, "But they really weren't." You know, she started thinking about, like, they had goals. They had a plan. They had a purpose. How they executed it wasn't exactly the nicest. But their goals were still noble. And you, in the original book, you don't get to see the other perspective. So in this one, I wanted to make sure both were represented through these, you know, top tier characters. So yes, my biggest thing was to make sure that you get to see both sides and really question which one you prefer.
Yeah, I love that. The villain is always the hero of their own story. So I love seeing those multiple perspectives. So you have a lot of world building going on in this story. You've got floating ships and pieces of land floating everywhere. What kind of research did you have to do to craft this world in this story?
Well, obviously, I researched floating land because there's so much of it out here, right? One of my biggest things I researched, let's see here. Well, I researched the people first, okay? So I've done plenty of, let's see here. I read The Five Rings. I read The Mind Fortress. Those are all basically like how ninjas kind of, their mentality and why they kind of do the way they do, how they operate, kind of the history of them. That was one of my first pieces. Pirates, they're kind of a varied bunch. And the pirate group that I have for this are actually broken up into three factions. So I did a little bit of research on things like, you know, how do engineers operate? Pirates, you know, they're a varied bunch. So I literally just went to the bar and watched people. that was part of my research. And then, you know, I have friends who are in the military who serve, and I just would ask them, I was like, what is it like for you guys? You know, what types of buildings are in existence? What is life for you on and off duty? So those were my big research as far as people. The Harpies, which are the overall, I guess, antagonist or force that's an issue in these books. As I mentioned, I have my birds. I look at them constantly. I watch how they communicate with each other. A long time ago, so that was fifth grade, I loved animals. There's this, we spent like half a year just going over the biomes and, you know, what makes a bird and why they do the things they do. I spend a lot of time on National Geographic. I'll watch that and say like, okay, these are the ecosystems. This is how they've adapted to this environment. So again, believability is really big, really important to me. So I made sure that everything that I possibly could, that could be realistic, could exist. As far as the breaking of pieces apart, I spent a lot of time thinking about like what would actually be more, the most interesting to the reader. There wasn't research that could really be done, but I said to myself, how could I make it so that I could reveal portions throughout the story over time?
You've also said that you like tabletop games, and you live in the birthplace of D&D. Do either of these influence your writing in any way?
I'll start up by saying, JP, I also understand you like D&D and tabletop.
I sure do.
Well, I'll start up by saying I never played D&D until, I want to say, about 5 years ago. And my brother, he used to play it, and I would watch it. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And, you know, there's all these dice and such. And then I played my first game. I was like, there are no rules. I was like, there's nothing that I can, if I want to punch a guard, I'm just going to do it. And you can, and you have these options, and you're not restricted in virtually any way. It's, you know, you and your friends. It's this amazing community that you have just at a table, and everything is happening in your mind. And I find it to be incredibly, incredibly fascinating and great experience. So how has it really affected me? I saw this amazing post a while ago that said, if you wanted to DM your own game, but you also want to play it, you should really just be an author. And that really stuck with me. And I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I can decide all the characters. I decide all the abilities. What I do think about a lot as far as Dungeons and Dragons is concerned, I think about like stat allocation and be like, okay, this person has lived this long. How have they spent their life? Where, what did they do? How have they changed over time? You know, I like to say that characters are the culmination of their past experiences. What they were determines where they are, and they're allowed to change. They're never going to be really stagnant, but based on what happened to them, you know, pushes them along. So I spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, their backstory, kind of like when you're doing that in Dungeons and Dragons, you're creating your character, you're putting in your stats, you're deciding your abilities. So I don't have stat sheets for my characters. They all have like a spreadsheet that just kind of like, okay, this is what they do. This is why they are the way they are. And then I just kind of go from there. I do think a lot about initiative. So in Dungeons and Dragons, you're rolling for initiative. And I think about, okay, if a combat is starting, who goes first and what does that afford them? And specifically when I think about how the ninjas, who are definitely the people who always get the first jump, I'm like, how do they utilize that initial attack?
I love that. And I love that quote about if you want to play and DM at the same time, be an author. And DMing is a great challenge for storytelling too. That was always my favorite thing to do as a character, was just to do something random. Like, I'm going to sit here and eat these flowers, just to see the DM go, why? And then have to figure out what to do with that. So I love that. You also said that you are a Marvel fan. What makes you a Marvel fan over DC? And does that work its way into your writing at all?
You know, it's amazing because it seems like everything, when you guys are asking me this, it seems like everything goes back to my older brother. My brothers always were into comic books. They collected them, and we used to sit down, and they had like, I don't want to say flashcards, but like little stand-up characters, and they'd be like, who's this? And I would spend time just trying to memorize these characters, and I just loved it. I loved seeing the characters. I loved the designs and how they were unique. And as Marvel has kind of changed over the course of time, specifically in the last 10 years into moving into movies, they've done a really good job making it not just about the action. Okay. For example, a football movie is great because very little of the football movie is about football. It's about what's happening off the field. So I like to think about, you know, I love the action. I love to design all this stuff for my stories. You know, it's very action heavy. It's, you know, there's a lot happening, but what's happening outside is really moving the plot forward, you know? So as far as like Marvel, I really have enjoyed watching these characters develop from multiple perspectives and interweave with each other. And that's also something I'm doing because a lot of my stories from my core series, which happened before my Vella stuff, they are still connected. You know, I throw like little bits of each one. So there's a little bit of connection, a little bit of character crossover that happens.
You mentioned before that you are interested in kind of this Discord community and them kind of telling you which characters they're interested in and which ones they want to explore. Which character are you most interested in your audience experiencing and why?
So that's kind of like saying which one's my favorite, isn't it?
That's precisely it, yes.
I love Lord Rin. Lord Rin is so incredible. I have spent so much more time on him, and he is not the first Lord Rin. Lord Rin is a title. It's not necessarily a person. So even the predecessor I know tons about, and it's a title that's so... it's very prestigious, and other people in his clan want that title too. And that's brought up a lot because ninjas aren't necessarily known for being trustworthy, right? So I'm excited for him, and I'm excited with his arc. Again, our characters really surprise us. When I initially wrote Admiral Dawn, I didn't have much for her. Now as she continues on, I've got to really see what she was made out of and add new material to her. So my favorite character is Lord Rin. What I'm most interested to do, or to see what my audience is interested in, what they're going to do with the additional characters that I've added in, because moving forward, there's going to be a shuffle and a distinction. Okay, you have your ninjas, and your pirates, and it's black and white. And one thing that I'm pushing in these next seasons is there's an intermixing of them. So the deck is getting reshuffled and seeing what happens. And so again, you know, if there's going to be romance, if there's going to be some betrayal, I'm curious what my readers want. And I can't wait to try to pull it off. Though I'm a little scared, I'm not going to lie. It's taking me out of my comfort zone. But if I'm not willing to do it, I'm not really testing myself.
I think serial fiction is just scary in general, but it's also a lot of fun. So Lord Rin is the ninja version of the Dread Pirate Roberts, is what you're saying.
More or less, yeah.
More or less. So speaking of characters, you can hear your cockatiels in the background. Mm-hmm. What are their names, and do they appear in your fiction at all?
So there is Pi and Oreo. Pi is, his name is because he's pied, not because of Pi the food. And Oreo kind of is black and white, so... That's how they got their names. They don't directly make any appearances. Everything that I do with them has specifically been anatomy based. Though some of their, I actually will say, so the ninjas use a specific type of communication that is called avian. And so they, I mentioned that they chatter a lot. That comes directly from those birds, because when they talk, it's called chatter. That's the term that's used for it. So the entire language of the ninjas is based off of them just kind of speaking. And it made perfect sense. I said to myself, how if I was in this ninja clan where there's subterfuge and there's, you know, information is the most important thing that they have, most important tool they believe in the world, how would they communicate? And I was like a, you know, birds, you know, birds are incredibly intelligent creatures on a communication level. Okay. They understand so much more. And JP, as you mentioned with your African gray, I mean, that's an incredibly intelligent bird. I think it's their peak communication is around a five-year-old human. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. It's very interesting studying her, especially even just like her nonverbal communication, her and other pets. I think that it's a really good fuel for writers if they ever want to learn how to write kind of that subtlety. Is there anything you haven't explored yet in your story or in Unlimited Story as a whole that you plan to or want to?
There is a lot, and some of it I have held off on because I don't feel confident enough in myself as a writer. There are certain backstories where I'm just like, okay, this character is the way they are, but I'm not willing to go back and address them yet because I just don't feel confident enough that I'm going to do a good job or my messaging won't be correct. So there are certain ones where I'm just like, this is a black hole where I'm going to be. Specifically with Air Supremacy, Selim is this cloud area, which is below the airships. And it's undiscovered. No one goes in there. Bad things have only happened when people, you know, people just go there and that's it. Or they throw their trash in there. And I haven't fully decided everything that happens there. There are glimpses into what's going on. And more will be happening in there or coming out of there. And that's where I'm going. And I'm looking, hopefully, to my readers to tell me what they want to come out. I have done some research. I look back at lore of other cultures and say, like, what would really make sense? So obviously, harpies came in there, but I started saying to myself, what other kinds of birds and creatures existed, and what would be really interesting to nice. To my readers.
So as a last question, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
So I'm definitely, I love to just crank out material when I can. And I think with serial fiction, it's been an interesting journey because you're kind of almost going in one direction the whole time. You're just plowing forward. When I was writing my first four books, I was like, I would get to the end and be like, oh, I can go back and change this. And you know, I can add these little nuances here. And now it's like, okay, my readers already read this. This is already established. How am I going to make this right? So it's almost like you don't get that cheat option, right? You're just going and you got to say, all right, this is established. This is what your readers accept. Now, I have gone back into my chapters and been like, I'll add some more clarity in there, little tweaks. But, you know, when I write a chapter, I say like, this is done. You know, you force yourself to lock yourself in place and you just go forward. And I found that to be really nice in many ways, just to be able to force myself into a position and say, we're going to do this. And it's been great, but my editor does not care for it because the time frame that I'm looking to knock stuff out, I'm like, all right, every week we got to go. Or I try to get two out just to make sure I'm a little bit ahead. So, but sometimes you need that extra push to make sure you stay on top of things.
Absolutely. Excellent. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks.
Well, thank you. It's been great.
Our thanks today to Mark Bolesky for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can read the first three episodes free on Kindle Vella. The link is in the show notes.
Also, if you're a writer, we have a companion podcast, The Writer's Serial Fiction Show, where we talk with authors about their stories and discuss the elements of writing compelling serial fiction.
We want to thank you for listening to The Writer's Serial Fiction Show. If you know someone who might enjoy the show, send them your favorite episode link. And if you want to leave an Apple Podcast review, we read all of them and take your suggestions. You can also leave a comment on this episode on our website, serialfictionshow.com. Finally, we now have a Patreon where you can get Serial Fiction Show episodes early and other great stuff. We have tons of things in the works. Check it out at patreon.com/serialfictionshow. Thanks, and we'll see you next time with another Serial Fiction episode.
And that's a wrap.
You see those dance moves? So I do weddings on weekends, and all we do dancing, like, because I don't want to say we're bored, but can you imagine going to a wedding every weekend and not partying?
No.
You're not involved at all.